Raise your hand if you'd like to live under the rule of Hamas. Raise your hand if you'd like to live in Iran. How about Saudi Arabia? Raise your hand if, for the most part, you love being American. Interesting. I am proud to be an American. And the question that does need to be asked is, do I want to give to America? There's many things I don't like, and I clearly am not going to give to them. But do I give to what I truly believe in? I think we could all agree that we want a better America. What would that take? In a very simple sense, it takes every American choosing to be the best that they can be, but also giving collectively to what we believe in. What would it take to have a better America? We would need to have better politicians, right? The rich men north of Richmond need to clean up their lives, right? But where are they going to come from? I mean, where are the good politicians going to come from? Well, they're going to come from you. If your son or daughter came home today and said, hey, I want to be a politician, what would be your first thought to them? Oh, dear Lord, please no, right? How many of us actually, like, make the decision to say, I want to give birth to a child and help my child to become a politician? That's not our normal thought, right? How often is it the case in the United States of America right now that if a son or daughter comes home and says, Mom and Dad, I want to give my life to the United States military, that they're discouraged from doing so? If we want a better America, we have to give ourselves to what we believe should be good and can be good and is good. So let's just talk about taxes, right? I mean, Jesus talked about taxes today. Is it not true that the majority of us pay somebody to do our taxes? Call them an accountant or something like that? But what are we really paying them to do? Well, some of us might be, well, it's complicated, but what are we really paying them to do? We want them to find out any possible loopholes to get us out of paying taxes. We want to find how we can get out of paying, and we want to pay the least amount that we possibly can. It's just true. We delight when we get return checks. And we delight about hearing about politicians who are being creamed because of their inability to pay their taxes according to the law. Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, repay to Caesar what is Caesar's. Christians for 2,000 years have followed this in the fact of, like, if there's a legitimate government, you should actually honor your government. In the early days of Christianity, Christians were actually praised because they actually paid their taxes. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, whose image is on the coin. So then Jesus says what? Repay to God what is God's. How often do we live in that same way? We want a better church, we want a better parish, and yet we're constantly looking for loopholes. We're always constantly looking for the easiest way to get out of what it is to actually become a saint. Sometimes we even surround ourselves by spiritual accountants who will tell us about loopholes in the faith. You don't need to be religious. You can just be spiritual. You don't have to follow this moral precept or that moral precept. Those commandments, they don't really apply to you. People change parishes because they don't like what the priest preaches because it's too hard. They go to confession to a priest who's going to give them an easy penance. We look for loopholes in the spiritual life because although we want a better parish, we want a better church, we want a better world, within us is this desire to have something great, but not to actually sacrifice for it. Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Just as we want a better America, someone's going to have to actually sacrifice for that. The same is true if we want a better spiritual life, we're going to have to actually give to that. When Jesus says repay to God what belongs to God, it's a pretty daunting task. Jesus does ask, he says, show me the coin. And he said, whose inscription is on the coin? And they're like, well, it's Caesar's. So who is Caesar at that point? Caesar was the emperor, but he also believed that he was God. At the end of the Roman Empire, there was actually a cult to the emperor. They offered sacrifice to the emperor because the emperor believed that he was God. In fact, he believed that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So who says, show me the coin? Well, Jesus. And who is Jesus? He actually is God. He is the Savior of the world, and he is who he says he is. And Jesus then says, repay to God what belongs to God. Well, what belongs to God? Everything. And just as this coin had an image of Caesar on it, this one has George Washington on it. Whose image are you made in? The book of Genesis clearly says that you're made in the image and likeness of God. So how are we actually called to repay God? By giving ourselves back to him. By giving the entirety of our lives back to the Lord. Repay to God what belongs to God. What belongs to him? Everything. And there are no loopholes in that. The way that we have a better church, a better parish, better marriages, better relationships, a better life is by giving ourselves completely back to the Lord. So let's just start off with some really amazing things. Right now, every single one of you is doing that. What's the third commandment? Keep holy the Sabbath. What is every single one of you doing right now? You're giving back to God your Sabbath. For those of you who follow the advice and the challenge of expending at least 10 minutes a day in silence, what do you do when you do that? 1% of your day is 14 minutes and 40 seconds. We're consecrating time to the Lord, and we're giving it back to the Lord because all time is God's. For those of you who pray the daily rosary, for those of you who come to daily mass, for those of you who spend an hour in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament or adoration chapel, what are you doing? You're giving your best back to God. Your time. You're there. For those of you who volunteer as catechists, for those of you who volunteer in our pregnancy care center, or for those of you who help at our food pantries, for those of you who volunteer at our parishes, for those of you who make funeral meals, for those of you who assist with the care of our church, what are you doing? You're giving back to God, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your life, your breath. Thanks be to God for that. Repay to God what belongs to God. But then, of course, every single one of us, every single one of us, myself included, can admit the fact that there's part of our lives we don't want to give to God. There's parts of our lives that we want to hold on to, that we want to control, that we want to possess, and we don't want to surrender. Whether it be our schedules, whether it be a pleasure, whether it be food or alcohol or lust, whether it be a relationship that we don't want to reconcile, whether it be use of media. We all have things in our lives where we're like, Lord, this is mine and I don't want you to have it. In fact, I don't even want you to see it. It's mine. Repay to God what belongs to God. Well, the reality is everything belongs to God. He sees all things. I went on an Opus Dei retreat many years ago in my priesthood. And Dan Brown, by the way, had it totally wrong. Opus Dei is not what the author of Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code says. Opus Dei is a great movement in the church. It was founded by a saint, St. Jose Maria Escriva. So I was on this priest retreat, and every single day at 12 o'clock noon, all of us priests would go to the chapel in silence, and we would kneel down, and one of the priests would be handed an examination of conscience. And it was an examination of conscience written specifically for priests. And one of the priests would read it out, and it changed every day. And then we would just sit there in silence, just kind of like convicting ourselves and then making resolutions to change our lives. I went on these retreats for multiple years, and I ultimately collected all those examination of consciences, and I read them every morning as part of my daily prayer. And one of them says this: Do I read magazines, look at websites, listen to music while alone that I would not read, look at, or listen to if my bishop, my dean, my pastor, or the holiest of my parishioners was standing at my side, realizing that our Lord and Lady are always lovingly at my side? What part of my life do I not want to give to God? What part of my life do I think that somehow I can have possession of that I can hide from God? Because God says to you today, and he says to me today, repay to God what belongs to God, and that is everything. That's my whole life. Like, Lord, here I am. Like, take all of me and my brokenness and my sinfulness. Like, Lord, here I am. I surrender it all to you. And I want to give you a beautiful way to do this every time you come to Mass. Every time that you come to Holy Mass, something deeply profound happens. We believe that Mass is the representation of Calvary, that on this altar, Calvary is made present again because bread and wine substantially become the flesh and blood of Jesus, and they are offered to the eternal Father, and that we enter into that. That's why it's called the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And this is one way that that happens, and this is one way that you can enter into it, and this is one way that you can repay God what belongs to God. So today, by the way, side note, but absolutely awesome, we have a confirmation at Mass today. That's why I'm wearing red. This young man right there is going to be confirmed today. Okay? So normally I would just say, like, after the petitions, but today I get to say, after the confirmation, I'm going to ascend to the altar, and I'm going to take bread in my hand. I'm going to say, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through you, this bread to offer you, fruit of the earth, work of my hands, will come for us, bread of life. Then I'm going to take a chalice that has wine in it with a little bit of water. I'm going to say, blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through you, the wine to offer you, fruit of the vine, work of my hands, will become our spiritual drink. Then what's the exact next thing that happens? Altar servers are going to come up from the right side, and they're going to hand me a thurible. I'm going to put incense in it. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to incense those gifts that we are offering, that bread and wine. What happens to that bread and wine? Well, they're going to become the body and blood of Jesus, right? Now, let me ask you a question. Does the entire piece of bread become Jesus, or just like part of it? No, the entirety of the host becomes Jesus, right? And it would be really terrible if, like, only half of it became Jesus, right? Because then, like, how would you know if you received Jesus? And when we offer the chalice, does the entirety of the chalice or just part of the chalice become the blood of Jesus? No, the entirety does. And so the priest incenses the gift that's being offered. And then what happens? The priest passes off the incense to the server. And the priest then does what? The priest bows to the server, and then the server does what? He incenses the priest, and they bow. And then the server comes down, and one gestures, and you all stand, and then the server does what? He incenses all of you. Why? Because the bread and the wine, the priest and the people, are united in the one sacrifice of Jesus. Because then the priest in just a moment is going to turn around, he's going to face you and say, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and whose sacrifice? Yours. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. What is the sacrifice? It's the sacrifice of Jesus. But what are we doing? We are putting ourselves into that sacrifice. And just as the totality of the bread and the totality of the wine are to be transformed, we are called to repay to God what belongs to God. If we understand what's happening in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, this is just bread right now. But this will become Jesus. And what happens at the holy sacrifice? It becomes Jesus. And then the priest offers this to the eternal Father. Whose image is then in this bread? Jesus's. And what are we doing? Repay to God what belongs to God. We give to God the Father his Son. We give to God the Father his Son for the redemption of our sins. And we unite ourselves in our totality. We repay to God what belongs to God because we were made in his image and likeness. And just as we offer and we unite ourselves into the one perfect sacrifice of Jesus, the same happens at every Mass. I find it somewhat coincidental that the host at Mass and the coin are the exact same shape. The image of Caesar, repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, repay to God what belongs to God, which is his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity, which we are called to unite ourselves into at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. What do you bring to this Mass? We bring those parts of our lives that are broken. We bring those parts of our lives that need healing. We bring those parts of our lives that need restoration. We bring those parts of our lives that we hold on to and we have not surrendered to the Lord. And we offer them today to the God who saves us. How do we have a better America? By people giving themselves freely and totally to the dream that America was. How do we have a better marriage, a better family, a better relationship, a better parish, a better church? By giving ourselves and repaying to God what belongs to God. May we who are born in his image and likeness give ourselves freely to the one who can save us. Amen.